The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, April 9th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, will discuss the cash grain market. In agricultural news, time is running out for Farm Bill negotiations. Also, U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab is headed to Colombia. And USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer testified on Capitol Hill yesterday on the ongoing investigation of Hallmark Westland Meatpacking Company. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will give us a lowdown on what it cost to produce a bushel of corn in Illinois last year. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, May wheat, 988 up 1. July, 999 up 5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat, 934 unchanged. July, 946 and a half down 1. December, 973 down 2. May corn, 605 up 13 and 3 quarters. July, 618 up 13 and 3 quarters. September, 623 and a quarter up 15 and a quarter. December, 620 up 16 and a half. May beans, 1313 up 61 and a half. July, 1330 up 61 and a quarter. August, 1320 up 58. November, 1244 up 38 and one half. May soybean meal, 349.60 up 1980. July, 352 up 1950. May soybean oil, 58.07 up 223. July, 58.78 up 221. April live cattle, 86.77 and a half down 110. June, 87.75 down 182 and a half. April feeders, 98.25 down 132 and a half. April lean hogs, 59.42 and a half up 27 and one half. And that's the settlements from Kansas City and Chicago. Taking a look at the outside markets, May crude oil is at 110.85, up 2.35 on the day. June, 110.95, up 3.09. The CRB at 408.99 is up almost 10 points. The U.S. dollar, 71.82.9, down 46 cents. The Dow Jones, 12.490, almost off 86 points. The silver contract for May is settled at 18.20, up 49 on the day. The gold contract for May at 935.10 is up 19.50 on the day, and the S&P 500 is at 13.52, down almost 14 points. Taking a look at Mike Sola's two-state forecast for today, he tells us that a flash flood watch is in effect for Champaign, Christian, DeWitt, Logan, Macon, McLean, Piatt, Sangamon, and Vermilion counties from late tonight through Friday morning, and in Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Moultrie, and Shelby counties from tomorrow morning through Friday morning. Elsewhere tonight in southern Illinois, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms arriving after midnight. Lows ranging from 35 in northwestern Illinois to 58 degrees in southern Indiana. And then tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, heavy rainfall likely, and highs ranging from 45 in northwestern Illinois to 75 degrees in far southern Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
A very strong day in the corn and soybean picks today. Was there fundamental news that backed up what we saw?
Well, from the 7:30 market report this morning, the USDA supply-demand report did encourage the strength in corn and, to some extent, the soybean market. Even though the carryover was increased in soybeans 20 million bushels, carryover is still very historically tight. And with even a larger world stocks of soybeans, almost 2 million metric tons, the pedal was the metal, particularly in the soybean oil, as oil exports for diesel and energy was also noted today. And, of course, the wheat market basically came in with a unchanged carryover in old, but the world carryover was actually increased about 2 million metric tons. My private meteorologist that I have the most confidence in said that those dry areas in western Kansas could get some beneficial rainfall this week. And, you know, the areas like Dodge City and Goodland, areas that have been rather dry, are in the hunt as well. So a little better rainfall. Drew Lerner put the frost siren on a frost in Argentina, but then backed it off at the last paragraph of his report. And then the 2 to 4 inches of rain hit the heartland here, as Ed mentioned, in central Illinois. So it's all rather a dynamic marketplace. The commodity funds raced the market higher as well as very strong gold, silver, and crude oil.
Yeah, the soybeans at lead option May broke above both its 20 and 100-day moving averages, and I'm beginning to wonder if there might be another bunch of buy stops above the 50-day moving average at 1357 and three quarters.
Well, it has been somewhat popular since the last the acreage report to be somewhat bearish soybeans, so I'm sure there was short covering in the marketplace. The government did surprise everybody with the bean oil. The world crops are bigger, particularly in Argentina and Brazil. As we mentioned earlier this morning, the Secretary of Agriculture is very reluctant to open up any CRP acres this year. Technology and production agriculture should meet the demand this year. But the marketplace is looking at some very tight carryovers, bidding for acreage and production, and, of course, this late planting start, so to speak, is all encouraging corn and soybeans to be very strong today.
Yeah, and so how much more bullish do you want to be in this corn market, especially since we put in a high of 628.5 today in the December contract?
Well, the government did cut back 100 million bushels in ethanol usage this year. I mean, they were overestimating it as well for several months, and they probably could even cut it back even another 50 million. But how bullish? Well, $6 is being talked about by several of our think tank advisors that usually have the best track record, and I would agree with them. And then there's this worry about 650 corn, and then dry weather could also push it up higher than that. The livestock man's taking a beating here, and with these higher prices, we are looking at some substitution probably coming in from the wheat. The wheat-corn spread's too wide, so wheat could turn into a feed grain later on in the year. Sorghum carryover was larger. And there is this talk, although, they said 1 in 5 on Dataline subscribers are talking about more corn. Those are the larger farmers, and that's where we're picking up as well. The larger guy might plant a few more acres, but it's going to be modest at best, we think.
Can you look in your crystal ball down the road and see $6 cash for corn?
Well, you know, there could be some adjustments at some point in time, with changes of deliveries and things like that. this wide basis will come together at some point in time, Dave, and you know, the person that does do a lot of their own hedging, you know, probably could bet that the basis levels at some point in time in the next 6 months to 8 months will come together. The other argument, I think, as well is that if we do see $6.50 or $7 corn, that's one reason why some people are bearish the basis on this old crop corn, because they do think that that can happen as well. The basis game is almost an unsure predictability is where the corn futures are, but I think that at least the corn market, based on the acreage, based on the supply and demand, is a very, very strong commodity, and I think anybody that says anything different needs to have a wake-up call at this time.
Do we take anything away from that fact that July wheat tested the bottom of its move from its contract highs in March to 1 April and held?
Well, on the CNBC, there was, you know, film tapes of rioting in Egypt with food riots with high-priced rice and wheat. There's also a talk of this cold weather shot in Argentina, and then even a farmer strike again against the Argentine government. Whether that's true or not, I think wheat was carried away. It's a thin market in the third place, came up, and I don't think we can really read much into today's wheat market other than the fact that it's very volatile. We're going to get blessed with some very good rains in those very key growing areas in the West. And all it takes is a little sunshine and a little more rain, and we could have a bin-buster wheat out there, a crop out there, and the wheat crop, not only in the U.S., but we're talking about Europe and also Russia. So there's still a lot of production that's in front of us, and a good rain on April 10th is just what the doctor ordered out there in the western wheat-growing areas of the West.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson is proposing switching $1.4 billion from crop insurance to other Farm Bill programs. In Peterson's words, "Frankly, we don't think insurance agents need a 200% increase in commissions." Some lawmakers are suggesting a Farm Bill will not be ready by April 18th, the date the current Farm Bill extension expires. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Bob Goodlatte.
I don't see that we can get a bill signed by the president by April 18th. We can't continue to do short-term extensions without an end in sight. Both the president and the Speaker of the House have expressed objections to that. So it's important that we make progress prior to the 18th.
And Senate Farm Bill conferee Charles Grassley is about ready to toss in the towel.
I've almost reached the point where if we can't get it done by April the 17th, and that's planting date in my part of Iowa, assuming the fields are dry, that we ought to extend the existing Farm Bill for a year.
Yesterday, Blue Dog Democrats, a group of 48 fiscally conservative House lawmakers, sent a letter to key Farm Bill conferees calling for a quick resolution to lingering budget issues. The letter asks for urgent attention to the Farm Bill, and it notes, quote, "Congress must continue to ensure a reliable safety net for farmers and farm families across the country. We cannot afford to become any more dependent on foreign nations for our food and fiber, as we have done with oil." The letter signals Blue Dogs may welcome additional Farm Bill spending. A congressional delegation led by U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab is meeting this week with the president of Colombia, local labor leaders, and members of the business community. Tuesday, the White House sent the Colombia Free Trade Agreement to Congress for consideration. The FTA must be voted on within 90 days under fast-track authority. House Democrat leadership has said that no vote on the Colombia Free Trade Agreement should occur until the country does more to stem violence against labor. Brazilian ethanol producers see a window of opportunity this summer to send sugarcane homegrown ethanol to the U.S. Brazil is now harvesting a record-breaking sugarcane crop, which is expected to push Brazilian ethanol prices lower. Current wholesale prices are around $1.64 a gallon, and with a 54-cent tariff, Brazil can deliver ethanol to the U.S. at about $2.18 a gallon, compared to about $2.55 a gallon on average for U.S. ethanol production. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer testified before Congress yesterday on the ongoing investigation of animal abuses at Hallmark Westland Meatpacking Company. Stuart Doan has more.
Schaefer told a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee that USDA has modified inspection procedures in light of what went on at Hallmark Westland and audited the 18 beef processing facilities nationwide that supply products to USDA's Nutrition Assistance Program. Subcommittee Chairman Herb Cole pointed out that two of the 18 plants checked by USDA had violations serious enough to require a notice of suspension. Cole sought Schaefer's support for legislation that, among other things, would permanently ban the slaughter of downer cattle. Schaefer's response?
Where we, found problems in humane treatment of animals, we're not in a downer cow situation.
Schaefer tried to assure Cole that USDA was up to the task of improving food safety, saying he was
confident that USDA can do a better job.
I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It cost more last year to produce a bushel of corn in Illinois than it did in 2006. Todd Gleason has more from the 2007 summary of the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Records.
Costs to produce a bushel of corn were generally higher in 2007 than in 2006, according to a new University of Illinois Extension study. It's available on the FarmDoc website. Just search Google for FarmDoc. The Farm Business Farm Management Program in Illinois summarized the cost from 1,550 grain farms in the state. Dale Latz says those farms averaged 1,250 acres in size. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist calculated the 2007 cost of production by the bushel and by the acre.
As we know, we are in a time of escalating costs for many of the inputs, and that's reflected in our 2007 figures. The variable costs, again, this would be fertilizer, chemical, seed, fuel, repairs, drying, and storage for the most part, averaged $240 per acre on these farms. That was $22 per acre higher than the year before, or about 10%, and most of that increase came in the fertilizer and the seed area at that level. The other non-land costs, which would be labor, machinery depreciation, interest charge, and the capital, was $162 per acre, or about $21 higher than the year before, 15% more. And then the land charge, and our land charge simply looks at kind of a fair return to land over the last 4 or 5 years, so it's probably a little below what the market is today, but that was $140 an acre, about 9% higher than the year before. So our total cost, when you add all three of those categories together, was $542 per acre. That was another first. That's the first time we were over $500 per acre on total cost, and probably the largest increase from 1 year to the next in terms of dollar standpoint. We increased $54 an acre from the year before.
$54 per acre, or an 11% increase. Costs per bushel were higher due to higher per acre cost. Costs per bushel were 2 cents lower in central Illinois with higher rated soils, 4 cents higher in central Illinois with lower rated soils, 13 cents higher in northern Illinois, and 23 cents higher per bushel in the southern part of the state.
Fortunately, when we look at the average corn yield of 190 bushel per acre, that made a break-even level figure of $2.85. So It's higher than what's been, but considering the increase in costs, not bad.
Not bad at 190 bushel corn, but the five-year rolling per acre average is 174. Since 2003, a five-year period, Dale Latz notes costs have skyrocketed. The variable costs, fertilizer, chemical, and seed, have jumped about 40%. Non-land costs, labor, interest, and depreciation, are up 49%. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Kay Whitlock is away, but joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Are producers beginning to get just a little bit antsy?
I would say so. Obviously, they have a lot of enjoyment sitting there and watching the markets skyrocket today. But I'm sure a lot of them would rather be talking about field work and in the field getting going on the planting progress.
Did this bump in the soybean and corn produce more sales in your shop today?
I would say corn sales were very good today. A lot of producers taking advantage as that number approaches $6 cash on either cash or possibly the fall contracts. We're about 20 cents away on new crop corn. But beans, I think the market is starting to find out that there are very tight holders in the countryside of whatever's left. It's a tight supply to begin with, and the fact that there's all kinds of rumors coming out of South America led to some rally in the beans and just not a lot of buying or farmers willing to sell even at these levels.
Yeah, we even saw some improvement in the spot bean cash side, and I don't think there was much sales going on today, were there?
No. The basis on average has improved 20, 25 cents here in the last 10 days to 2 weeks from a processor standpoint, and I think that's due simply because the farmer isn't ready to sell beans yet, and that's evident even after a big rally up 70 cents at one time today, there wasn't a lot of heavy selling.
So, not to put too fine a point on it, what prices are farmers looking for beans?
That's a good question, because I don't think anybody knows where the bean market can possibly go. But I would say $13 cash would probably generate some more sales. I don't think we're going to approach the old highs close, somewhere between $14 and $15. So, $13 seems to be a magic number right now.
And let's look at the next 30 days, beans and corn, and ask you, 30 days from now, will the basis be wider or narrower?
Well, if I could predict where the board was going to be, I could probably give you a better answer. I would say right now, based on lack of movement, if we start to plant and seasonally the futures tend to decline in April and May and things start to go like we normally expect, I would say the basis will improve. Movement generally slows down in April and May, and the processor's basis generally starts to recover as they try to get more grain into the pipeline.
What did you make of USDA's reports today?
Well, I think about as expected. I think the only question mark going into the report was soybean demand on the export side and the crush side going to be high enough to offset that residual use that they were going to drop? And it wasn't quite enough, but it's still a snug 160 million bushels. Corn, I think we knew that the number was going to be tight, and the fact that there's a chance it could continue to get a little bit tighter in subsequent S&D reports. So about as expected. I think the only thing that caught us off guard was the big surge in the bean complex.
Your prices today?
Today we're $5.85 for cash corn. Fall corn is $5.80. Cash soybeans $12.73. Fall beans $11.54.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. And in just 2 minutes, we'll hear from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi Basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. La Salle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. La Salle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and LaSalle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
And it's all about what the weather looks like in the Midwest. And I suppose, at least in the short term, it's going to be pretty wet.
Well, most definitely. We have the last in our long series of big major storm systems moving across the region. It is going to be moving across the region fairly swiftly over the next 48 hours, but lingering a little bit in the form of scattered instability showers as we get into Friday into Saturday. So not a pleasant four-day period coming up. There's going to be a considerable amount of wind coming in with the storm system. The good news is the wind will come out of the north after the main brunt of the storm passes and bring in some lower humidity, so we might actually get at least a brief 12 to 24-hour period of a little better drying conditions across the region before we shift gears and go into a warmer mode. The storm system is expected to produce widespread rain amounts in the range of 3/4 of an inch to over 2 inches. There will probably be some 3-inch-plus amounts. Parts of Missouri and Illinois will be targeted for the heaviest amounts of moisture. This time around, it looks like the easternmost sections of the eastern Corn Belt will probably see the least amount. That means Ohio and eastern Kentucky may get a little bit of a break on the storm system. But don't get me wrong, it will still rain in those areas, just not as heavily as it will further to the west. And in the northwest part of the Corn Belt, we're going to see a significant amount of moisture come from this event, and that is likely to occur as a cold rain and heavy wet snow, and probably see some travel issues up there in that part of the belt. But back here in the heart of the region, it does look like an improving trend will take place as we go into the weekend and on into the early part of next week. Not only will it be a little bit drier, but we should see a nice warming trend taking place. Enjoy it while you can. There are two frontal systems that will be moving across the Midwest next week. Each one will bring additional cool air across the region and an increasing risk of rainfall across the area. Right now, it looks like the first frontal system will come across probably Tuesday into Wednesday, maybe linger a little bit in the eastern belt on Thursday or Wednesday. I'll get this right here. Monday and Tuesday in the western Corn Belt and Tuesday and Wednesday in the eastern areas. And we'll end up with enough moisture there to set back the drying trend a little bit. But no heavy rains are expected. The system that comes after that, at the end of next week and of the following weekend, will add some more moisture to the situation. So gradually we'll head in the right direction, but we're not going to see a major dry down and a significant turnaround in overall conditions for a little while yet.
What producers need is normal to above normal temperatures in the next couple of weeks. Are they likely to see those?
I don't think so. Not in a steady diet type of situation. I think we're going to be looking at some rapidly bouncing around temperatures. Will be warmer than normal for a couple of days and turn around and be cooler than usual again for a couple more. So the trend will be in a warmer direction overall, but we still won't be seeing persistent warm weather, and so the evaporation rates will be somewhat low, and it will be difficult for us to see some of these wettest low-lying areas firm up in a dramatic way.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner, Senior Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.